Let's read together 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In this chapter, we have the difference between the spiritual Christian and the carnal Christian. We also have a description of serving the Lord and His church for eternal reward or for eternal loss. Let's begin by reading the first 9 verses of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, with some background notes. Just the casual reading of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians is enough to make us aware that there were a number of problems in this first century church. It wasn't that they didn't have enough spiritual gift. Remember, Paul wrote in chapter 1 that the Corinthians did not lack in any of the spiritual gifts. Look back once again at chapter 1 and verse 7. So that you come short in no gift. So the cause of the problems in the church at Corinth was not that they did not have enough spiritual gift. No, the main problem was that they were not spiritual. Just having a lot of spiritual gift does not make you spiritual. You know, some Christians never seem to see this distinction. Spiritual gifts are received as part of the package of salvation and are developed with use. Being spiritual is a matter of walking in close fellowship with the Lord and obeying His word. The Corinthian believers had spiritual gifts, but they were not spiritual. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we saw the contrast between the spiritual man and the natural man. The natural man is the unbeliever. Unbelievers do not understand God's word and God's ways. In fact, it is all foolishness to them. The spiritual man, on the other hand, in stark contrast to the natural man, is the mature believer. Mature believers are led and taught by the Holy Spirit. Mature believers understand the Word of God and the ways of God. Mature believers have the mind of Christ. Now here in chapter 3, Paul tells the Corinthian believers in no uncertain terms that they were not in the spiritual man category. They were not unbelievers. They were not in the natural man category, but they were not spiritual believers. In fact, they were unspiritual and carnal or fleshly and worldly. They were not properly understanding the message of the cross, and they were putting too much emphasis on the wisdom of this world. We saw that in chapters 1 and 2. As a result, there was jealousy and strife among them, and there were divisions in the church. Let me ask you, can the same problems exist within any church today? Answer, yes. And that leads us now to our doctrinal teaching points for 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So doctrinal point number 1, a believer can decide to be either spiritual or carnal. A believer can decide to be either spiritual or carnal. Believers cannot decide what spiritual gifts they will have or not have. No, the Lord decides that. But believers can decide whether they will be spiritual or not. As a believer, you can decide whether or not you are going to know God's word and obey God's word. You can decide whether you are going to run your life by biblical standards and values or by the world's set of standards and values. You can decide as a believer whether you are going to be a spiritual believer or a carnal and worldly believer. The Corinthians chose not to be spiritual. God did not make them unspiritual. They chose to be unspiritual. As a result, Paul could only give them the milk of the word and not the meat of the word. Now, there's nothing wrong with milk, but milk only is for babies. As babies move on to solid food, so should Christians be able to handle more than just the basics of the Word of God. Listen to the rebuke written to the Hebrews at the end of Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Of Christ we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. The reason that believers can be carnal or fleshly is because Christians still have the flesh, that is, the sinful nature. We now have new natures in Christ, but until we get our resurrected bodies, we also have the sinful natures that we were born with. That's why we still sin as Christians. When we don't walk after the Spirit, but walk after the flesh, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, then we will be fleshly or carnal. Then there will be jealousy and strife in the body of Christ, as in the church at Corinth, verse 3. Then we will be sectarian and forming factions and divisions in the church, as in the Corinthian church, verses 4 and 5. Then we will be worldly in our thinking and fail to see that we all are servants in God's garden, verses 6 through 8. Let's read those verses once again. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we see that some plant and some water, but God causes the growth. We are all servants in God's garden. At the judgment seat of Christ, we will all be rewarded on the basis of our own labor, verse 8, not on the basis of the limelight or mere talk, but on the basis of our own labor. Verse 8 once again, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let me ask you, do you want to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ? It's your choice. A believer can decide to be either spiritual or carnal. Doctrinal point number 2. A believer can decide to build for either reward or loss. A believer can decide to build for either reward or loss. Verses 10 through 17. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys or defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The building here is not the Christian life, but the church. Many times this passage is applied to how we build up our own personal lives in Christ. But we see from the context here that the building is the church. In verse 16, the you is plural. That is, believers together form the church, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The foundation of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now there are three categories of builders in the church. The first type is the worker who builds with gold, silver, and precious stones. materials that will withstand fire. This builder is the spiritually mature believer who builds for God's glory, and this builder will receive reward at the judgment seat of Christ. The second type is the person who builds with wood, hay, and straw, materials that will not withstand fire, but will go up in flames. This builder is the carnal or fleshly believer who does not build for God's glory, but for self-glory and for selfish agendas. This builder will not receive reward for these works that will go up in flames. The fire here is not hell or some kind of purgatory, but rather a testing fire. Remember, this is an illustration of the church as a building being constructed of different types of materials. The materials that can withstand the fire are the labors for God's glory by faithful believers. The materials that cannot withstand the testing fire are the works of carnal or fleshly believers. Notice from verse 15 that the carnal or fleshly believer is saved, but it is as if he escaped from a burning house. His life is saved, but he loses all his earthly possessions. Verse 15, by the way, indirectly is a proof text for the eternal security of the believer, isn't it? Even carnal Christians are saved and do not lose their salvation. The third category of worker is in verse 17. This is the destructive builder who deliberately works to destroy what God is doing by denying the truth and teaching what is false. This is the unbelieving, professing servant who is not a true believer at all, but is still in the natural man category. Now let me ask you, as a true believer, what kind of builder are you? A believer can decide to build for either reward or loss. What about practical application from 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Verses 18 through 23. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. You know, there is always the possibility of self-deception, verse 18, even as Christians, because of the flesh or sinful nature. So don't fall for the wisdom of this world. In verses 19 and 20, Paul quotes from Job 5:19 and Psalm 94:11 in support of this point. And don't deceive yourself by boasting in men, even the Christian superstars. Recognize that all are servants to help us in our Christian walk and growth. In fact, in that sense, everything belongs to us, because God uses all things in his good plans and purposes for our lives. So don't lose sight of this big picture because of the appealing wisdom of this world. Don't deceive yourself.